Everything okay, Colin? You're usually not late for hair and makeup.
I saw something very disturbing, Rose. I arrived early today, so I thought I'd explore the space station.
Yeah, it's so big. I've only been to level C and D, and of course, on set. Did you see the cinema?
Cinema?
My favorite is the spa.
Wait, a spa? No, I didn't see any of that. My ID only allowed me in Omega Sector sub-level 47.
Oh, sounds like you have a restricted access. I can go anywhere on the station. Who negotiated your contract, Colin?
I didn't realize there was an Omega Sector. Sound very official. I normally just hang out in the pub on level Q.
Well, some weird things going on down there, Manfredo. Looks like a mad sci-fi set from the 50s with loads of old school lighting.
You stumbled onto Gene Franco's workstation.
That's odd. It's a restricted area.
Yeah, look, all I know is I looked behind a thick velvet curtain and came face to face with a huge floating head.
Yep, that G, you bumped into his quantum projection. He does that when he's multitasking.
Oh, Colin, what did he say?
I'm not sure. It was something about granting a wish, but I didn't hang around after the head burst into green glowing flames.
Gianfranco has a thing for theatrics.
Twiggy says G asked him to bring you in early to talk about building your spaceship, Colin. No more crazy rides. Twiggy also reprogrammed your ID to make sure you found your way.
That's a relief, I think.
Okay, people. We're live in 5, 4, 3, 2. Lights, camera, action.
Welcome to The Sync Report, the intersection between filmmakers, content creators, and musicians, where we host a weekly conversation with some of the biggest names in film, television, music, and entertainment. Meet industry experts and top-level musicians as we pull the curtain back on music placement and scores, building vital relationships and providing real opportunities for our listeners. Listen to indie filmmakers and content creators present their latest productions and describe specific scenes as they consider music submitted by our audience. Hosted by film star and musician Colin O'Donoghue and his co-host, the godmother of independent films, Rose Ganguza, and the Sync Report's creator and music supervisor, Jason P. Rothberg. Don't forget, tell your friends about us and remember to rate, comment and subscribe to The Sync Report on Apple and across all platforms. Music is the difference between a good film and a great one.
Welcome to
The
Sync Report.
Thank you, Milfredo and Willow, for that lovely introduction, and welcome to The Sync Report.
So awesome. What a fun show we have. Rose, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again. Of course, our co-host, Rose Ganguza. How's it going in New York, Rose? Are you safe? Are you warm? Are you flooded?
We're here trying to make New York, New York again. And Broadway is back. So we're really, really happy about that.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I've just been seeing just such damage from the flooding. So I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, we're here. We're doing good.
Excellent, excellent. And you tie into this show tonight and on ways I had no idea, so I'm very excited.
We're glad you're here. So grab a drink. Let's have a conversation about music and sing. Oh.
Hello.
Hello, Paula. We have a huge show tonight, don't we?
We do.
Oh my God. Do we want to
hear about
everybody?
It?
Yeah, let's talk about who's right. On.
Jason, this week we have Charlotte Church on the show. Charlotte Church is a Welsh singer, songwriter, TV presenter, and rights activist. She rose to fame at just 12 years old as a classical singer, releasing her first album, Voice of an Angel, in 1998. In 2000, age 14, she was awarded British Artist of the Year at the Classical Brits. And that same year, she released her first autobiography, Voice of an Angel, My Life So Far, just 14 years old. Her track, Just Wave Hello, from her second album was licensed for an advertising campaign by Ford across the US. In 2005, Charlotte released her fifth studio album, Tissues and Issues, branching out into the pop charts with 4 UK top 20 singles. In that same year, she won a GQ award for Woman of the Year. By 2007, aged just 21, she had sold more than 10 million records worldwide. Since then, Charlotte has hosted her own chat show on Channel 4 entitled The Charlotte Church Show and has been an outspoken supporter of human rights through charities such as Choose Love, as well as a passionate political and environmental activist. Fast forward to 2019, and Charlotte launched the Arwen Project, a learning community with a model of education that's sustainable, adaptable, and personalized, and very different from the standard state schools. More recently, she has taken on a renovation project where she's turning legendary designer Laura Ashley's old house in the Welsh Mountains into a wellness and healing retreat for the Discovery Plus and Really channels. Please welcome Charlotte Church to the show.
I've been a fan of Charlotte's for years. You know, I had an opportunity to connect with her a couple of years back on a charity project, of course, and knowing that she's one of the kindest, big-hearted individuals in the industry. So lovely. I'm just really amazing that she's here with us today. Charlotte Church is in the house. Let's start at an early age because there's so much going on there. But actually, I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. You know, my co-host, Rose Ganguza, has a reunion story for you, I believe.
Okay.
Let's see if you remember this. Rose, tell us that story that you were telling me the other day.
So here in New York, in the late 1990s, we started a program called Extra O Kids with CBS Television and sponsored by the famous toy store FAO Schwartz. And the idea of it was to go around the world and find kids with extraordinary talent. And the first kid we found was Charlotte. And we went over with the CBS crew to Cardiff, first time I'd ever been in Cardiff, and met with Charlotte and her lovely family and her singing coach. We got there in the middle of the rugby championship, so that was fun. And then progressed back to New York and did stuff at FAO Schwartz in New York and on CBS and did a profile of Charlotte.
What sort of an impression did we make? We were pretty rough around the edges, I think.
Oh, no, I just loved it. It was absolutely fabulous. And you were just adorable.
Do you remember meeting Rose?
I'm sure.
I mean, I sort of. Yeah, I mean, I did. To be honest, I've got huge holes in my memory because such a huge amount happened in such a short period of time. Then my mother the other day reminded me that I did a duet with Usher.
Yeah.
That you had forgotten about. I love this woman.
So no offense to you, Rose. I do sort of remember. I'm just glad that we weren't terribly uncouth.
Not a surprise that you don't remember. I mean, I was on your IMDb page. I didn't realize how much TV you have done, an epic amount beyond hosting your own shows. We're gonna slowly get into that. Starting off so young, I'm just curious, when did you start singing? By 6 years old, we know, but you know, when did you actually start singing? Were you just singing always?
Yeah, I think so. My mum used to say that the nursery group I used to go to, they had the radio on all day. And the first time they sort of knew that I was like really, really into music was basically coming back from nursery every day. I'd have memorized all of the lyrics to all of the songs. So I was like this little tiny 2-3-year-old who just knew like all of the lyrics to all of the chart songs that were being played on the radio. She always says that was sort of their first clue. I don't know, that maybe I do something music related. But yeah, I mean, I've been singing for forever. Yeah, it's my lifeblood. I love it so much.
And so was it your mother that kind of steered you towards operatic? Was that just something that you wanted to do? You knew that you wanted to? It seems like such a difficult mountain to climb.
Loads of people in my family were like cabaret singers, sang in pubs and clubs. Mm. So it's not glamorous singing, but it's like making a living singing. And lots of people in my family did that. So I was always around people gigging and people singing and doing it for a living. And so I went to singing lessons when I was 9 because my auntie had nodules on her throat. And so she said to my mum, "Mom, make sure she's doing it properly," because, you know, I had terrible trouble with my nodules. visuals. Maybe get her trained, make sure she's singing properly. So that singing teacher that I went to, I think I went in there singing like Tomorrow from Annie, like big, brash, belting voice. Really? And so she started making me sing Somewhere Out There from American Tales. Mm-hmm. And she made me sing it really, really quietly. And it just grew from there. It just grew and grew. And then it became quite operatic. I don't know how, really.
Incredible. That's so important. You know, you really, it is an instrument and you have to use it correctly or you can damage it. So amazing. Yeah. How old were you at this point?
I was 9 when I first went to singing lessons, and it was amazing. And I learned loads, and I learned loads of technique and stuff. As an adult now, I do sort of think, I don't know about too much training, actually.
You know what, though, Charlotte? Sorry to butt in. It's Milfred. Charlotte, I grew up in Newport, and I know when we moved to England, everybody just assumed, oh, you want to hear my daughter, this little Welsh girl. Everyone just assumes that all Welsh can sing. And I remember when your name was being touted around, it's like, oh, yeah, another Welsh girl who can sing. Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, it was just like, oh, my God, she really can sing. You know what I mean? So it was just like, everyone just assumes that all Welsh people can sing, but they can they? It's just like, yeah. But amazing. I just remember you coming up through and your name was around. And and all of a sudden it was like, boom, yeah, she can sing. It's a Welsh girl. She can sing. Yeah. So, yeah, good for you.
It's reminding me of I just recently saw How Green Was My Valley. Did you ever see that film, Charlotte?
That's not the rugby one from the 70s, is it?
No, it's from, I think it's from the 40s, actually. But it's just this beautiful, I was telling Donovan, it's like the Welsh Fiddler on the Roof. It's just this beautiful, song-filled, working-class film.
I've never heard of it. I'm going to have to immediately go and watch it.
You have obviously such diverse influences coming through your life, from your family to your music teacher. When did you stumble upon the Clark sisters and some of those memories?
The Clark sisters was probably about 5 years ago, or maybe a little bit more, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. And it was through a really good friend of mine called Graham, who is like a huge music collector, a proper music nerd. He gave me this live album, like the singers, these women, these sisters, like you can literally hear the lineage of so many of our titans, like Lauryn Hill and Beyonce, and so many female singers have just been, you know, like so influenced by the Clark sisters. And as soon as you hear this one album, I mean, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. And so that song, Pure Gold, I had at my wedding. But yeah, I mean, just gospel singing, I just absolutely adore it. I wish my voice box could do it. I give it a go at all opportunities. I just absolutely adore the Clark sisters.
This is Kevin. I just want to jump in because my mother grew up with the Clark sisters. Their mother, Maddie Moss Clark, was the choir director for my grandfather's choir.
Oh, another crazy connection.
Yeah. And so when you hear things like this, there's a thread in music, this common thread of this feeling. And Charlotte, I love your music. And so whether the voice goes one way or whether it goes the other way, you can feel this soul, you know, amongst any voice or amongst any talent. And you can definitely feel it in your music. And it's really great to hear that connection.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that, you know, it's what we're all trying to get back to, isn't it, really? It's just like just trying to strip away any of the bullshit and just let it be that raw emotion, that direct from source sound and intention. And the Clark sisters have just got it in spades.
So incredible. I just love hearing what you're being influenced by, what you're appreciating. And I'm going to admit, you know, I haven't heard much of the Clark sisters until Elliot sent me the list. And now I'm mentally in love. I'm so glad to be discovering new music through you. So this is really fun for me as well. The Beautiful Mind, Ron Howard's film, when you join James Hornet in the studio. Now you're entering one of, to any normal human, an overwhelming situation, one of the greatest directors that walks the planet, one of the most amazing composers for score. And you find yourself in the middle of the studio surrounded by an orchestra making these sounds that are just so part of this film. What was the first phone call? Give me the whole story. I want to hear everything about this.
I mean, it was so awesome. I was just so absolutely made up, just so excited to be part of this project and to be working with James Horner. And I'd been listening to James Horner scores growing up my whole life. Land Before Time score is just, you know, some of the things he's composed, just insanely beautiful, seminal music of our time. And so just to be able to work with him was truly extraordinary and exceptional. But I was daunted, I have to say, like going into the sound studio. The orchestra was much bigger than a normal orchestra as well. It was like a 120 piece orchestra. It was huge. So going into that space with James Horner and Ron Howard dropping in and having a listen, it did feel so like monumental.
You killed
and it. I was totally doubting, like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to do this? But to be honest, I was so used to a great deal of pressure that by that point, my ability to compartmentalize and just breathe and calm myself down and just do the shit I needed to do was pretty good by that point. So I got through it.
Do you doubt your voice, Charlotte? That's like crazy to me that you doubt whether you'd have the ability. Is that something you do?
Not really, but certainly at that time as well, you know, because you often get people saying, oh, well, singers aren't proper musicians and, you know, that sort of stuff. And so I was reading the score and making sure I could follow where I was. And it was a lot to do with the music theory then in that situation. So that was what I was doubting really more than anything. I knew that I could push out a nice sound, and we'd been through it a lot with James about what he'd wanted. Being sort of trained and being musically trained and also then spending my youth, you know, performing with orchestras all over the world, that is one hell of an apprenticeship. And what a joy it was. I loved performing and I still do. But yeah, I mean, incredibly privileged, I think, to have the opportunities that I did. And then, you know, like I said, I got to travel the world performing with some of the best orchestras in the world and incredible musicians. So it really was just awesome.
Nobody could be prepared for the journey that you and your family took. A huge learning curve for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was wild, absolutely wild. And at different times, really stressful and a terrible burden and price, which I think my mother took the brunt of, to be honest. But she's totally delicious and, you know, totally, totally crazy.
But she had a center. Maybe her religion gave her a center and the strength to deal with this.
No, absolutely. Her and my dad, like, they held it all together and they were totally green behind the ears. You know, they had no experience in this world whatsoever. But my mother was absolutely, she was fearsome. She was so protective and she didn't give a shit who she was talking to. Like, I was a baby girl.
Proper Welsh mother. I love it. The Celts, don't mess with the Celts.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of go backwards now for a second because I'm kind of skipping all over the map. And, you know, funny because I was living in Mallorca and had a flat in London going back and forth doing some label work. And you were on the radio constantly. And then you move into television. It's so much TV you've done. But what I love, I think, almost of all of it is you're winning these awards for everything that you're doing. But you also win an award for funniest presenter. I mean, the diversity that you're showing at such a young age. How was that transition from recording in a private studio with a few people to actually going out and doing, you know, your show in front of an audience and not having your vocal voice, only having your really speaking voice to lead the way? How did you deal with that transition?
I think at the start, I loved it because it was really surreal and a bit odd and just the sort of things, it tickled my funny bones, you know? So I really loved it at the start and I felt like it was really stretching me and pushing me and totally pushing me out of my comfort zone, but also was just shit tons of fun, just trying to be funny.
It seems like it was coming natural to you though. Was it an effort to be funny?
I suppose you know, you, I was getting over different insecurities and stuff. And because a lot of the time I was playing different roles. And so I was trying to do different accents. And in part, when I look back at a lot of it, it was so crass. It was so of its time. And I think, oh gosh, it's so embarrassing.
It was a time and a place and it was perfect for the time. So, you know what I mean? You just can't do that. It was perfect at the time, Charlotte.
It still holds up. I mean, I've been enjoying it. I've been giggling.
When I came out from the river, when I came out from the river, when I was still small, when I was still safe, and I didn't have to
What a voice. Can you just give me a little background? Because from as a music supervisor, the growth, the crescendo, the layers of the vocals, it would be something that would jump out at me. What were you thinking when you were in the studio recording and writing Love?
Well, actually, with Love, it was a bit of a fever dream the night before. And I spoke to my engineer at the time and we recorded them all in my garage. And we turned the garage into a studio. And I phoned Gethin, our engineer, and I was just like, I've got to just get in. I've got all of the parts in my head. I've got all of the vocal parts in my head. I know exactly how I want it to sound. And it was all about my daughter, really. My children, both my daughter and my son, but particularly my daughter. And I just, it was really about the cycle of life and this idea of coming from the river and sort of birthing her from this river of existence and being able to always go back to this place where we were so held by, you know, Mother Nature and just life in general. And that it was so uncomplicated, actually, this whole thing that when, you know, our egos and gosh, it takes us to some really dark places. But actually, it's just so simple. It's just about love. And it was really clear to me in that moment.
I knew that song was special from the second it started playing. And actually, we're going to play one more snippet off of Two.
And snuffed out in an instant. I could have told you that I'm just an infant, and the world ages faster with every breath. She was all that he would ever
It's so lovely to hear the EPs. They never played. But yeah, I think musically, they're what I'm most proud of that I've ever made. I had a band of local musicians in Cardiff, and we worked together for much more of a band project than a solo project. And it was me and my husband and our bass player, Jamie, who were the writers. And it was really intense because we were all in our 20s. And of course, we were striving so hard to make excellent music and excellent art and excellent stories, and was basically about this idea of two lovers at the end of the world being on different park benches, but in different cities watching the world collapse. So we always had like really grandiose ideas about the stories. And yeah, so a lot of it is very, you know, complex, and maybe in parts a little too complex. You know, we literally threw the kitchen sink at stuff.
But this is why I wanted to play stuff off the EPs, because your storytelling is, you know, and again, this is what we're all here for, you know, we're all, you know, connected to storytelling, whether it's the visual side or the music side. And I think those two songs, I mean, are the personification of what we talk about here weekly.
Do you know what, Jason? About 6 months ago, Charlotte, I was talking to a producer friend of mine, Pascal Gabriel. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He did Nana Cherry, Massive Attack, Bomb the Bass. And I come up with a bit of a cool project. And we were saying, you know, the way Kate Bush was kind of reinvented with dance music. And we were both sat there and saying, you know, whose voice would we like to sample? And it's ironic you've played that Love track. And we were kind of listening to it. And we were like, oh, it's Charlotte Church. It's like, imagine taking bits of this and doing this with it. I don't know.
I know.
It's my thing. But you're kind of like, Kate Bush has just remained credible, you know, forever. It's just like she's just written in history. And we were trying to think of the next generation that would work with. And you came to our minds immediately. And we were playing some tracks, and Love was one of the tracks we played. And we were kind of, oh, what if we did this? Have you kind of drawn a line under that sort of thing? Or if someone came up with a cool project, you know, is it something you consider? Because my name's in the hat, Charlotte, straight away.
I'm yours, darling.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I love it. Another match made on the Sync Report. I will get you Charlotte's details.
For sure. I'm sending it over, yeah.
Like I said, like, singing is my absolute lifeblood. And wow. I want to keep creating as much as I can. To be honest, I've used it on a back burner for the last couple of years because I've had this Democratic School project and this Healing Retreat Center. And I'm absolutely not, but I am really feeling the call. Because to be honest, I really think at the core of the universe, right at the center of the universe, is like singing. It's eternal, and I feel it like calling me all the time.
Wow. That's refreshing. Good. Okay.
Because of our time, I mean, we could talk about this forever. There was another 15 tracks we wanted to play. But I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about your charity work. Nobody with the mindset and path you've taken, I don't think you could disconnect one from the other. And the work you're doing with the Awen Project and Dreaming, which I want to talk about next, is absolutely inspiring. Can you tell us a little bit about the Awen Project, when that started, what the purpose is, where you see it going in the future?
Of course, absolutely. So I started looking at mainstream learning and thinking, I don't know, I just couldn't put my finger on it of why I don't think that's right. And so I started exploring alternatives, and I probably by this point done a PhD's worth of research into different types of education and alternative settings all over the world, and spoke to some incredible educators the world over. So I set up the Awen Project, which is a free to attend democratic creative school in the woods in South Wales. And, you know, a lot of the work that we do is centered upon children's rights, is centered upon, you know, why are we forcing our young people to do all of this stuff, which a lot of the time has no relevance to their lives, no relevance to their talents or their skills, their abilities, their interests. And when really there is literally so much to explore in the world, and then therefore in your education, why are we being so narrow with what we're allowing children to access? It just doesn't make any sense, certainly for where we're headed in the world now, which is catastrophe and collapse. Why are we teaching them this really narrow part of what we've decided is important that children should know? So we've got one community at the moment, which is 15 strong, and we're hoping can fundraise enough over the next few years. And also we want to set up our own businesses and stuff that start to fund the running of the school. We're hoping to set up more learning communities throughout the UK and eventually the world. Because the point of this sort of education is that it's co-created by each community, so it can be adaptable to whatever setting it needs to be in.
Incredible. You know, I think I have to connect you with Susie Cameron, James Cameron's wife. She has this incredible school and structure, very similar, happening out of Malibu.
The new school.
Exactly right.
I know it, absolutely. I did a lot of research into it right at the start of the Awen Project.
Oh, how cool. Build this picture in my head. We're talking about a 15th century monastery that was later bought by Welsh fashion designer Laura Ashley. Now this is something you've purchased and you're turning into a wellness center. How did you stumble upon the property? How did you come up with this idea?
I was looking at my dwindling funds from my youth and going, okay, I'm going to find a patch of land. I'm going to build a glamping site. And that's just going to be my you know, like my side hustle, you know? But then I found this like fucking amazing house in Mid Wales. And I just totally fell in love with the forest. There's two waterfalls on site. There's a hydromill. Insanely beautiful. There's red kites flying everywhere. It's absolutely magical. And so I totally fell in love with it. And at the time I was doing a course, an online course, and this idea of Aboriginal songlines anyway. The lady there was talking about wanting to raise money to support these Aboriginal elders from all over Australia to set up a healing retreat centre. And it was just at the time that I went to see this property and I just thought, yes, that's exactly what it needs to be, a healing retreat centre. Yeah, it just absolutely inspired me. And I've been on my own path of healing as well, you know, over the 5 to 7 years. I think when you get into your 30s, you start to unpick it all and you're like, oh, shit. Oh, it's really grisly.
And look what she's done. She takes that pain and she actually is showering everybody else with healing. It's incredible. And, you know, Charlotte, it was great because when I was talking with Elliot earlier, you're just an unstoppable force. I love how you're approaching even the creation of the renovation of the building. Can you tell us a little bit about your approach there and these wonderful humans that you have living on the property helping to create this dream of yours?
Absolutely. So we were thinking, okay, how can we do this in a way which is exemplifying sort of all the things that we want to bring when it is a healing retreat center? How can we do it in a sort of interesting, anti-capitalist, wellness way? Who can we get to be involved? Who's interested in doing this sort of thing? So I just put a call out on my social media platforms just to say, we're looking for volunteers. If anybody is interested in this well-being experiment, but which is also about building this healing retreat center, wants to do something different with their lives, then get in touch. And we had about 150 people get in touch just saying, you know, I'd love to be a part of this and telling us about their skills. So we've got 12 people there at the moment. I think we can grow to about 16. That as well has been a hell of a learning curve in itself because I'm not living there currently. I live there in bits and bobs. But to set up a community, crikey Moses, that is
people
awesome.
That you don't know.
Yeah, it's complex. It's really complex. And they're all amazing. Like, they're all absolutely delicious, delightful human beings. They're all looking for healing in their own way. They've all joined for different purposes. But this place, just this magical.
You know what? Sometimes late night drinks and me and my friends are saying, do you know what? We should buy an island and only have nice people there, and just like, oh, imagine if you could do that. But you're doing it. You're actually doing it. Yeah.
Do you think there's a lot of people that I know that are feeling the call to the wild? And I'm not sure if it's because of COVID and people have started to reevaluate their lives and meaning and who are they and what is their contribution? And we've got this climate crisis and so much is looming. And I just think a lot of people are sort of being called back to the wild, like, how do we actually do the important stuff? How do we grow food? How are we going to?
I think it's an age thing as well. Like you, I think as you get older, you kind of think, you know, I don't need this person in my life, or I need this type of people around me. And I think when you're young, you just take everything on board and try and deal with it. But I think as you get older, and you know, I don't think it's any coincidence that you're doing this now. It's like you just think, do you know what do I want around me? What don't I want around me? And there, you know, you're doing it.
Certainly, but it's also like I really, really adore humanity and the human family and this world. Like, I really want it to continue. I don't want us to totally fuck it up. And currently, we're totally fucking it up. The activism work that I'd done in the past, a lot of it was I ended up being a bit of a poster girl for stuff, and that's not sustainable. That's not something that felt authentic or real. So both with the Awen project and with the dreaming, with the healing center, it's just about how can I be of service and of use and try and save the world, because that's the job at hand, guys. It's not just in the Marvel movies. This is what we're all tasked with. How do we save the world? And the way in which it's framed a lot of the time is sort of really doom and gloom, and it's all terrible. But the way I feel about it is just like, what do you want to do? Like, there's so much to get involved in, and so much beauty to save and savor and get excited about and passionate. I'm totally in love with Mother Nature, and I just want to do all that I can to save as much as we can.
You know, not everybody feels it and is aware of it, but it's people like Charlotte Church that are actually beaming this light and attracting like-minded souls and people. So we're behind you, Charlotte. Any way we can help you save us, we are behind you.
Ah, Jason, thank you, darling. Well, the thing is, like I say, there is so much to save. So whether rivers are your thing, or rainforests, or, you know, mycelium, or even, you know, human beings and social justice, or, you know, whatever is your bag, go for it. There's so much that needs to be sorted out, and all it takes is love. It's not complicated. It's very simple.
That's a quote we're going to be using everywhere. That was beautiful. Charlotte, honestly, I want to just keep going, but I know we have so much in the second hour. Would you possibly come back and join us again?
I would love to, absolutely. I've had a ball. I've had such a lovely time. Thank you for reminding me of all those lovely things that I've done.
We're going to keep spinning your music here. And I know with our filmmakers that we have, there's going to be sinks knocking on your, pounding on your door.
Excellent, excellent, darling.
You're an angel. How fun was that, right? Come to my house. My wife and I will have you and the family for dinner. Every invitation is on the table. We're going to put Charlotte on a tour, actually, of just our homes. Thank you again, Charlotte.
Thank you so much. Bye. Yeah, I'm going to go put the baby to bed. She's only one. She's missed me.
From all of us. How cool was that? And what a big second hour we have coming up. Durwood's here to talk about working with Maria, and Max is going to announce his sync choice. Paula, what's your favorite show so far?
My favorite? It's hard to say, really. Steve Binder, I think. What's yours?
Well, Edge and I, we like Jackie Martling's, I think, for the jokes, you know. Right, Edge?
Jackie Martling?
Do you use Apple Podcasts or Spotify?
Both, because we need the numbers.
Edge uses our website, right, Edge?
The website, 2 Cents Music. Yeah, yeah.
Don't you love that site? So many cool images and things to check out.
Yeah, so cool. I haven't checked it out yet. Maybe next week I'll give it a go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be cool like Edge and Paula and go there right now. 2centsmusic.com, developed by Blaster Web Services.
Sync opportunities, sync opportunities. Lights flying only for a minute. Take a breath, feel the world spinning. Taste fear, better for a minute. Only for a minute, only for a minute. Feel the heat higher than the ceiling. Rise up, better start believing. Won't fall, I'm swinging, I'm swinging. I'm coming up brave, I'm coming up bold. We are triumphant.
Milfredo's back off the road and finished with his festivals. Milfredo, thank you so much for being here.
I'm not loving it, mate. Yeah, it's all good. So it's just started work on this. There's a big festival in November in the UK called the Shine Festival. And basically, it's just a load of 90s bands. This year, I think it's Fun Loving Criminals. Happy Mondays are playing. Ooh. Yeah, and I'm going to work on kind of a little mini movie about the whole thing. It's lots of sad old over 40 people like myself who just make this pilgrimage to the Butlins, which is like this holiday camp. But the first time we did it, it was just like, oh man, like, what has it come to this? Am I doing Butlins? But it was one of the best gigs I've done in 20 years. So,
a lineup. Oh my God, it sounds, I think you're going to have a conversation with Rose after this.
Yeah, oh, mate, it's such a lineup. There's about 50 bands play over the course of 4 days. And it's just like this bubble. People just think, you know, they've gone to this 90s Manchester world. But it'll be a good little film, I think, about the, you know, the bands, the fans, the scene, the festival. And quite hard hitting, quite quick, you know, quick cuts and stuff, but yeah definitely it's something I'm looking forward to doing.
If you need to take time off, we understand, and Kevin will be back on Sunday to announce his selection. I saw the video today and somebody just killed it. Kevin, do you want to give us any hints, or should we just hold on to that till Sunday?
Can I give a hint? The person that won hit the nail directly on the head.
Not only did you do a great job on the fly with this project, but the music just definitely elevates it all. So yay, we're making connections between songwriters and filmmakers. It's what it's all about. And next, I want to introduce Max, my friend Max from Sponsor Online, who was brave enough to bring his corporate video to us. And you have picked a sync. Have you picked a song for your video?
Yes, I have. Or we have. Hi there.
You actually took it on a retreat. You played all the songs to everybody on your team. How did that go? Tell us a little bit about that, actually.
And I played to the people I work on with Sponsor Online, and we actually a selection of 6 songs which we liked most. And of course, it was all about finding the right song which goes well with the promoting the brand. It's not about which is the best song as such, or which we like personally most, but the one that goes best with the brand. And so when we had those 6 songs, we came down to 2. We had quite a fierce battle on which one's supposed to be the best for the purpose, and eventually we found one, but it was really tight. And so the songs also we received, they were really great ones. There were some one really did fall in love with as songs, but again, it needed to fit to the purpose.
Well, and I remember seeing, you know, you were so meticulous that, you know, you were placing each song against the video and sharing it with me, and it was a really, really difficult decision. So before we announce, why should we play a little bit of it? Should we hear a little bit of that sync that you picked? And I hate to use the word winner, although it is the winner.
It's the one we chose.
It's the selection. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Give us 40 seconds of this brilliant track. That was For the Win by Phil Mason. Phil, welcome to the stage. I probably should have let Max say it, but I think I can't, obviously Phil knows I can't keep the cat in the bag. You not only turned in a brilliant song, but you really listened to what Max was looking for. And I think that's what put this track over the top. Phil, give us a little background on the track itself. Tell us about you and how you came up with the music.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Jason. And thanks, Max. I really appreciate that. I'm very honored that you've chosen my piece. It's very cool. Well, obviously, I listened to the brief, read that several times over, and just listened to the reference track that you also sent, which was the UEFA Cup. But also looked at all the other ones that had sort of been before and had came. And Champions League one was another one that popped into my mind. It was quite regal. Kept thinking about what Max said on the day and, you know, what he spoke about and what it represents. It's the sponsorship for all the teams online. Just tried to put myself into that situation, really, and thought what would excite me to listen to it and what I could imagine going to the picture. And just this, you know, epic big voice thing came along. So it had almost a regal sense to it, but something quite modern with a nice groove and also lots of interesting international worldwide drums as well. So that was kind of my angle. And I pieced together three or four demos for me to sort of listen to and listen to them for a few days and then sent that one through. That was what I ended up with, which was quite a departure from how I started, actually, which is a little bit more sort of synth and cinematic based. But this, in my opinion, was the best one that I did for this brief. So thanks, Max, and thanks, Jason. What an opportunity.
Great job, Phil.
Thank you,
actually,
Max.
Actually, you saw I already stalked you. You know, I saw, found you on the internet, but I wasn't yes. so sure if it was you because you have two L's, I think, in your names. But when you handed it, that's... it was with first name was with one L. So I was like, I wasn't too sure. But anyway, okay. So no, it would be great to catch up one of these days and just so you tell me a bit more because you had this, I call it the Gregorian music in it, I think. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's something different. You call it differently. But so I also like that. And I like also the like the increase of the music, you know, the volume and just taking more speed, the whole song. So, no, great song. And you can really imagine also a team walking on the pitch and being cheered and celebrated by the and welcomed by the fans, you know, fits very nicely.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's exactly what I felt as well. And I also sang along with the choirs that I programmed as well, just to give it a bit more realism and a little bit more flexibility. So I'm glad you picked up on that. Oh, okay. Thank you. Cool.
Incredible. Congratulations, Phil. We will help facilitate your sync license for your publishing and master, all down to the signing the contract to make this real. And we'll make that happen this next week.
Ooh, I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah. Ooh, pour me one.
Yay.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Jason and Phil.
Oh, Eric, Max, we wish you the most success with your company. It sounds brilliant what you're doing. I hope you'll continue to come back and give us updates.
Of course I will.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Max.
All the best.
Have
Ciao.
A good evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. So this is the icing on my cake tonight. Maria, welcome back to the stage. Maria actually helped us launch this entire concept. An award-winning director. She's a producer, an executive producer. She's an actress. She's a beautiful human being, and she's allowed us to tinker with her latest project, Tilly.
Hi, guys. Jason, what you're doing is incredible. You're really putting so many beautiful people together. I'm just so happy to have been one of the selected few to be here from the inception of the Sync Report. So this is very, very cool.
Well, Maria, thank you. Honestly, we wouldn't be where we are without your involvement and your support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in at such an early stage and believing in this platform. So interesting with you, Maria, you should tell a little background about Tilly and the project, but we were inundated with submissions for you. And in the end, not only have you picked something for the trailer, but you have also selected two artists that had submitted to participate in the actual film. So yeah, do you want to tell us about the film? Tell us about your musical picks. Don't tell us about the trailer yet.
So the title of the film is Tilly, and it's about Tilly Bing Bryant, who was an activist, and she still is, and she participated in lunch counter sit-in. So as we were doing this, did a pitch to the executive producer. She loved it, and she hired me to become the director, the writer on this project. And something that you did for me, Jason, was you kind of really showed me, even though I do a lot of branded work, I obviously, you know, films and so on and so forth, this project is very close to my heart because, as you know, I'm a social activist as well. And I think after joining in your Sync Report, the show in the beginning, I just couldn't believe how many amazing artists are out there from all walks of life. I mean, you know, some of us get to really get our work out there, like Charlotte Church, like so many of you that have been doing music and films for so long. I mean, I look at like so many people here, like Milfredo, and so many people that have been on this, you know, Sean. And then there's all of these amazing artists that have that potential to reach that level. And even just the producing level you have with labels for so many people, there are people like yourself, Jason, that have had the the success that you have, Milfredo, Sean, so many people, Charlotte Church, and it's just about an opportunity. And then there are filmmakers like myself, you know, you encouraged me to start getting, to start working on the music a little bit earlier. And I'm so glad that you did, because just for Tilly alone, I found such great musicians on this platform where I don't have to look any further. And had it not been for you, I would have never met wonderful musicians and musical producers and so on and so forth. So I just have to say that by that one session, I found two artists that would be great for the soundtrack. And I have found my song for the trailer.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, then let's get into this. Before you say any more, Maria, let's give us a bit of Durwood song, huh?
For God's sake, get it right. Give up.
So I love this. This British punk rock legend has turned in something that's going to fit into this 1950s civil rights movie. It's brilliant. Durwood Andrews, welcome back to our stage. I know that Maria fell in love with your slide guitar. She's connected you with James Manos, her composer. And I hear that you're going to actually be working with James to create the score.
That's what I heard too, yeah.
The rumors are true.
Yeah, it's nice to be thought of.
I think of you all the time, but not anything I can explain on stage.
I found some old photos of us when we were working with Swamp Dog.
Oh.
I'll send you them over.
Oh, I would love to see. Well, I mean, this is the thing. You're such a diverse musician. You know, the world knows you as the guitar player from Generation X, but I know you from so many other projects. Actually, I was able to be in the studio with Durwood recording with a legendary R&B artist, Swamp Dog, who's a friend of yours. Yeah, I mean, the diversity. And then to sit and listen to that guitar, there's no question why Maria had such difficulty figuring out what to pick for the trailer and then the light bulb. You know what? Let's bring him in for the whole fucking film.
Absolutely. I mean, what you nailed there, Durwood. I mean, first of all, you're just a brilliant musician. And the fact that when I heard that track, it just brought me back to West Virginia. It just brought me back to that porch. It just brought me back to those moments. And we're going to definitely need something in the film for that. And I was like, I don't need to look any further. And James felt the same way. I mean, it was just fantastic. And it's going to be such an opportunity to work with you. And I really look forward to it.
I'm sorry, but my phone cut off. So I just heard the end of that.
Oh, you missed all the compliments.
Oh, damn. As usual, right?
As usual. Well, and again, I just want to point out, I'm sorry, Durwood, but I just want to point out, look, in the audience, you have no idea who is going to be listening to your music as you make submissions. And possibly if you don't get that sync, where it could possibly go to, that relationship. And Durwood has just completely blown the roof off. And yeah, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Durwood?
No, I was listening. I was hoping to get back to the compliments.
Well, thank God.
Durwood.
Thank God it's all recorded and you're going to have to listen to it at the podcast. You're going to have to watch it. You know, we're going to animate you for the TV show. So this is all getting very exciting. Hopefully you'll enjoy this particular recording 3 or 4 different times.
Wow. Okay. I need to be animated for sure.
You're so fucking animated. I love it. Durwood, thank you. Honestly, Durwood's another one that helped us to launch this whole concept. Been such a huge supporter of this. And yeah, just continues to lead the way. You're amazing, Durwood.
Well, I haven't been here. I haven't been here for a few weeks. The whole show and the professionalism has gone up so much. It's great.
And you've been missed. There is a seat on this stage anytime you have interest or time to join us. And
you know, I appreciate that. Yeah. I love it too, man.
Great. Before we get to the trailer, bring Tree up. Unbelievable. I adore Tree. How perfect. What incredible humans. Everybody that's actually syncing tonight are not only incredible talents, but really good people. I don't know how we're attracting all this good
goodness.
Hi, how's everyone doing? The room has been so great today. Thank you.
Welcome, Turiya. I'm actually going to just pass the mic back to Maria and let her work her magic.
I was listening to many of the songs. Many of them, I just know there were a few that were so cinematic. And I listened to your song. And what I, even though I do have a trailer winner that we're going to announce very soon. Yeah, really would love to cut something and maybe talk to you a little bit more about it for Action Speak Louder. The level of music that you had, I know that there's something that I can choreograph to it. And I want to talk to you about it a little bit more since this is a civil rights film and it's about lunch counter sit-ins. So I'm hoping that we can have that discussion very soon. I do see something very special for your song and I hope we can work together on that if you're open to that.
Thank you. I would love the opportunity. I'm so excited. So yeah, I'm just happy to speak with you. Thank you so much.
You know what I think what we should do? Let's share the song with everybody. Let's hear a little bit of that song, huh?
My actions speak louder, louder than words, louder than words. I will put one foot in front of the other, determined to see the promised land. May my actions speak louder.
Well, there's no wonder why Maria picked that. The song is beautiful. We're talking about a female activist who is all about action. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that track.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, and civil rights is really near and dear to my heart. I grew up going to the Civil Rights Museum and going to 16th Street Church, where the church bombing happened with the four girls. So I'm just so excited to be a part of this project. Thank you.
All right. Well, with no further to do, play the song. Let's hear we're going to hear the whole song, actually, because this is the winner. We're so proud of finding this song on Clubhouse.
Been through the valley. Ooh. Been through the storms. Ooh. Wade in the water. All my days long.
Mountains seem too high,
too high.
But
so beautiful.
It's just the perfect song for what we're trying to get across. And again, for a trailer, what we're looking for in the trailer and what we're looking for inside of the film are two separate things. But this for sure really puts me in the frame of mind of how of the tempo of the film I'm trying to make, and you know, the people involved, the stories, the just everything, the portraits we're doing digitally. It just exactly hits it on the head.
Well, we actually have the mastermind behind that track on stage. Vessi Mink, unleash your mic and take a bow. Quickly, tell us how this track came together.
Thank you, Jason and Maria and everybody. I'm definitely not the mastermind. I would say that would be Tilly Bing Bryant with what she did. Oh, and Maria, awesome. And everybody. And that's Megan Baker, who brought that song out of her soul. And without Cheryl and I having been present for this brief, what was it, last month, a month and a half ago, and Andreas Midlio from Sweden, an amazing instrumentalist, producer, and writer, composer. I have to thank 6FS, Kathy Heller's Catch the Moon, because that's how I met all these amazing artists. Cheryl Bunteri, Megan Baker, and Andreas, and Carl's Wolf is on stage.
You brought it together, Vessi. You definitely deserve some praise. And Melody is beautiful, but you definitely spearheaded this one.
It didn't happen without reality hitting home. Cheryl and I were going to work on that track together, and her son was in the hospital with COVID, and her grandson got COVID. And we talked about having Megan Baker, if she'd be interested, to sing on it, and Andreas to do the music and feel what she was singing, and, you know, that we planned on writing. And so when Megan heard the Vimeo, I'll let her speak. I'm sure you're going to bring her up here, and Andreas and Cheryl too, if that works.
Megan, let's talk with everybody. Let's go back to the trailer. This collaboration, will you guys work again together, or do you do a lot of work with him?
But actually, this was our first, I think this was my first time working with the three of them. So, you know, and I think, well, for me, I admired everybody from afar. So it was really an honor, you know, when Vessi reached out to me in the beginning to say, hey, would you sing on this song? And I was like, sure. And then that night she calls me and she goes, you should write the song because Cheryl's got stuff going on. And I hesitated because, to be honest, civil rights, and you want to do it justice. And so I hesitated for a minute, and then Vessi said, no, I think you're supposed to do this. And so I was like, okay, yes, I am in the year of yes. And to have the honor to write it and to pull from a place where I grew up in a church that didn't have instrumentation, and, you know, you just harmonize and use your voice and different things like that, going to church with my dad. So this was, you know, a beautiful experience, and I'm very thankful. And so we'll definitely work again. Andreas and I is right now working on a ballad together. So
incredible. Well, Maria, you must be happy. Not only do you have your trailer music, but you have an incredible start for the film. So I'm so happy for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jason, and to all of you. I mean, it's a filmmaker never could imagine just walking in and finding what he or she or absolutely need all in one place. So it we're off to an excellent start.
You think we'll continue to do this, Maria? We look for more of your songs. Obviously, your film is probably going to have 20 plus syncs in it. You think you'll come back? We're recording. I wanted it on tape.
Hey, now, for every branded thing I do, or for every single film that I make, I will definitely stop by here in the Sync Report and see what's out there. And hopefully I can connect with all these amazing musicians on so many different levels. So this is great.
Well, thank you, Maria. I love it. It's been an incredible, incredible show. Kind of perfect for tonight, because we had so many amazing, powerful women on the stage. And I'm just in awe of all of you. Thank you, everybody. We have another big show coming up on Sunday. So hopefully we'll hear you guys all on Sunday.
Thank you so much to our amazingly talented guests for joining us on today's show. And to you, our listeners, for spending your time listening to us and being with us. The Sync Report cast will be back in a week with your hosts, myself, Colin O'Donoghue, Rose Ganguza, and Jason P. Rothberg. Until next time, take care and be kind.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week.